Chapter 27. ET View of Our Religion.
Translated from the professor's notes made in 1975, continuing from the discussion of the extraterrestrial threat, Lia began a discussion of our religions as seen from her point of view.
This had generated religious changes, and with that, hundreds of the dogmas which are manifested today on your planet. You have distorted ancient facts which now could well bring to light of comparative parameters that which I have told you, to the light of an incipient science which could offer you a capable analysis of many of our forms which to you seem extraterrestrial. Many of your chronicles speak of angels, of beings who fly, etc. All of that, nevertheless, is perfectly explainable today, but before, it was not possible to do this. Each society, so to speak, interprets according to its idiosyncrasy, that which seems to them almost divine.
Hear me, Lia. I believe that I have accepted some of much that you have told me, and this is, in truth, worrying me. I have verified that much that you predicted has come to pass. Sincerely, I don't want you to complete this. Is there any way to change the future? Also, how can we come into contact with civilizations that could not only help us, but orient us?
Well, Professor, as in all of the societies, there exist in this universe civilizations that demonstrate various grades of knowledge. To arrive at the greatest and highest teachings of the higher civilizations, you must have a minimum knowledge of space law, and observe, above all things, a complete and genuine respect for life itself, to modify your laws to a regulation of acceptance, and of harmony. That would benefit you. Your tendency toward the defensive has made you highly dangerous beings.
But then, how can we know who comes in peace and who no?
It so happens that those who could help you, cannot approach you, and still cannot. You must grow in knowledge and augment your receptive capacity. Modify your habits.
I already knew that she, Lia, had a solid basis for speaking thus. Her experience was very great, but at times her words confused me, and later not even I myself knew how to explain her. I sunk into reflection, even after thinking scarcely a few seconds on what she had said, and I asked, "Well, and God? Where is He? Does He exist in truth?" She looked into space and sighed profoundly, perhaps in search of adequate words to define the great portent of nature. To explain to me in a detailed manner, who was or is God.
Listen, Professor, in the chronicles of your world there appeared beings who could fly, overcoming the attraction of gravity. In one of these histories there appeared two civilizations simultaneously visiting your planet. One overcame gravity in a manner different from the other. The first flew from one place to another, and could proceed with ease, wherever they wanted. Their magnetic field permitted this, but that field was not visible to the others. The others still did not possess the secret of negativizing of light in the magnetic field, for which these shone and were visible. In time many adopted this knowledge and began to utilize magnetic fields of energy to repel the gravity of your world upon arriving and descending to the surface of your planet. Those beings who floated and shone with a radiance, much surprised many of those inhabitants of almost 5,000 Earth years ago, or between 300 and 400 of our cycles back. Your surprise increased when I told you of the capacity they had to displace themselves to another place, and above all the ship in which the ETs traveled, produced much fear in the inhabitants. The inhabitants at that time knew of nothing similar. For them, all of this was divine. These then came to consider us gods coming to Earth. But those were like us, and we have nothing exceptional except our scientific advances. Those who show decadence in their sentiments and their acts, can lose many rights of interstellar level. We cannot lie nor can we destroy, for which many of us know and aid each other in space. They came to your world with the intention of informing all who would be able to understand of the inhabitants of Earth. But many obstacles developed between the ETs and the Earth humans. The humans did not comprehend that there were other inhabited worlds like yours. They were controlled by one criteria, unified under one chief, in such a way that the chief imposed his ideas on all the others and they accepted it or saw themselves obliged to do so. The terrestrials only interpreted one cycle and one Earth, and they believed that those extraterrestrial beings were gods whose powers were superior to all they had seen before then. Because of their manner of dress, the terrestrials could not decide whether the ETs were men or women or both. They deified them to the point of fanaticism. There were such diverse, and so many, interpretations that the humans formed separate groups, and there still exist confrontations between entire societies over these ideas. Each city adopted their own interpretation according to their own taste and their own histories, after which they became mythified. And finally they became so distorted, that even we could not understand what had been recorded on the rocks. Your scientific terminology has not reached those specific levels that convey the greater knowledge, and for that you do not comprehend absolutely all that I explained to you, and this derives toward uncertain points, praising them to these apparitions which were taking forms in ever-increasing locales. To the end that they became identified with the society in question. The subsequent generations did not understand much of that and began to ask questions. And the teachers of yesteryear were not showing the point exactly correct. Those who came from other worlds wanted to explain who God exactly was, but before that, they needed to inform that they themselves came from other worlds and were extraterrestrials, and that others possess the same genetic makeup, shape, DNA, etc., as yourselves. Their anthropomorphic form did not convince the terrestrial inhabitants that they were human. They knew that they had seen a being descend from the sky, and they would never admit the contrary. The event was considered so extraordinary that it was engraved on rocks for posterity, but they did this in accordance with their knowledge and mentality. In those times the people of your world did not exactly understand this extraterrestrial phenomena, and that explains, in part, much of the falsehood encountered in your monoliths. But if it was difficult then to make the inhabitants of your planet understand our extraterrestrial origin, it is not easy now to make them understand that many of those apparitions that they saw, did not pertain directly to the nature of God. Those who came to your world were only informants or investigators, who studied and analyzed the future of your world and its comportment. The facts occurring were involving the terrestrials in a labyrinth that more than historical, was mythical, disquieting those minds and intruding upon the feelings. The people were afraid, and this made it easy for them to be controlled by those outcomes of the kings, chiefs, directors and leaders. Though in some manner the idea was not lost, the message was diverted into obscurity, and being changed in substance between one translation and another. Those who did not understand, rejected it or relegated it for later analysis, losing many times, thus, important information. This also influenced the grade of knowledge of each society, because in some manner this contributed to the ever greater retardation of the advance of man. In truth, we never could understand why you did not understand the message in the correct form, for at least that of the origin of the civilizations that visited your planet. And today we fear that you will yield to the same. We are all of us, you and all the other inhabitants of the universe, the excellent creation of an infinite being. Most powerful. God exists, of course, Lia said in a most reverent way, and for us it is the most powerful, bioelectrical magnetic force, which controls all vibrational movement of a passive state, an active state and vice versa.
Then God is both life and death?
That which you call death is the vibrational state in repose. Effectively, the great bioenergetic force of God creates and absorbs, ebbs and flows. It is an inexhaustible source of knowledge, whose power is only perceivable to you through matter, for which you know it superficially and at times unjustly. In truth, there exist hundreds of forms of life, one of which is energy in its most pure manifestation. These bodies are uniquely energy vibratory. To us they are invisible entities or beings, bodies like magnets that attract structures of their same species. They can conduct themselves throughout the whole universe. And that scarcely would be the tiniest example of which could serve as a concept to show you what God is.
An invisible body can absorb another?
Not precisely. On that point there is no intent for dominion of one entity over another. Those bodies attract those with which they associate, but they don't annihilate them. They also possess a powerful repellent force, and can transit incalculable spaces and can be here now and on another world in form simultaneously. Yes, actually their power is immense, but God is above all that, which you cannot comprehend. God cannot be understood through threats, nor through fears. God has given life, and life has a force, a cycle, depending on the force with which it has been created. Nobody in the universe has the right to take it, life, except for his own survival. Even before some injustice in the ultimate moment, you must not kill. All in space carries a continuous state of harmony. To alter it costs much to whoever tries. God is above all living forms that swarm in the universe, and I can tell you that matter, as you know, is the manifestation of the most primitive of its power. God is not ruled by time nor space. Time and gravity are inseparable. If we measure something, and it has weight, we can evaluate its gravity, then we can know that it exists. God exists though we cannot measure its knowledge, its weight, nor its capacity. We also search the beginnings of our science thousands of cycles after our own origin. We initiated our investigation of our genetic conformation and its formula from beginning to end, but the most interesting was the DNA molecular system, as you would call it, and to learn that we could reprogram all of an existence in a manner such that this could produce a race of genius, which could adequately receive universal information of an interstellar level.
I don't understand this well, I said sincerely.
For example, your primitive DNA suffers no alterations, for which the human can live through one cycle of regeneration, though it is limited. There are no changes in the love, nor hate, intervening to reduce the energy. There is no reformation of your structure. You can reprogram yourselves in a manner, according to your mental, or intellectual, capacity, supposing that you have no limits, replacing old concepts with new, or those knowledges can improve your perceptions, both mental, visual, auditive, etc. This is the way you want to really improve the genetic time of man through his DNA.
And have you had success in these experiments on your planet?
That was in the beginning when we inquired much into the existence of the being as a living entity and, above all, the origin of God. Today, for us, this is so old that it is genetico-scientific history. On our planets they developed great changes and improved our races, by reprogramming the genes without genetic deformation. It has cost much, but today that is possible, And there still are scientists who are occupied with this on other planets. The measure of such knowledge expands and they strive to know more and more, and then they disseminate this to the greater races, always alert to the maintaining of communication with the objective of retransmitting the results obtained. Thus it was that they came to know also new worlds, and as such they made the gift of life to those which they found insufficient development and with resources necessary for intelligent survival. The rule in interstellar society is to eradicate the degenerative instincts and raise man to a superior level, each time better than before. Our mission comes to be that of teachers, who also begin from zero like all of you, with the difference that on your planet you cannot duly obtain the knowledge, because the scientists unfortunately die, and with each generation some of the relative initial knowledge is lost.